All right, welcome back. This is our third segment tonight of Who's Talking. We've got Wally Walker hanging on for a second. We will go back to that interview. In the meantime, Darren's going to tell you how you can follow Who's Talking.
Well, if you want to reach out to us here in the studio, you can reach us at 345-0910, streaming live at foxsportsrichmond.com, and of course on our good sponsor, thesaber.com. Download that free iHeartRadio app and listen on your smartphone if you are on the go. But also, please check us out on Facebook under Who's Talking. Get the latest news on our page of Who's Talking on Facebook, and you also can sign up for our newsletter there.
All right, Habbo and Darren, thank you for that. Wally, a couple thoughts. You know, Virginia has won so many basketball games over the last 3 years, particularly, and you know, Bennett has kept Virginia ranked in the polls for like 52 straight weeks or something crazy like that. How does this team round into form for their first ACC game, which actually is on the road against Louisville in just a few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, scoring is not going to come easily for them, I don't think, in ACC play. They're going to have to manufacture some baskets, you know, out of their defense. They're going to have to find some ways to, you know, to run a little more than maybe they're used to or in the recent history of Virginia hoops. Because in the half court, without a post-up threat is kind of where we started with the loss of Nichols. You know, they'll score, but it's going to be a grind. So I think that's a place where, again, incorporate more of the talented guys with some quickness in a lineup, and they're going to make some mistakes, and you're going to take some lumps in the process. But to get them ready for the, you know, the ACC season and then the latter part of the season, I think, is a worthy goal. And Tony knows that. I talked to him in September when I was back there when we honored Terry Holland, and he thought, well, we got a tough schedule early, and I don't know if he saw 7-0 coming, but of course they played really well, and then, you know, hit a good veteran team. So I think we're right on track, and they just got to keep incorporating the young guys and get them some experience.
All right, I got a basketball question. Let me ask you the key question, and I know your son is in Charlottesville. How's he doing, and when are you coming back to Charlottesville to see a game or two?
Yeah, he loves it. He's his third year and just loves the university and had about a month of culture shock, born and raised in Seattle. And when he got back there, he's his mom and I worry he's having too much fun. But the social thing's gone well, and he's loved his classes and the whole thing. We're coming back for sure in February. He was home at Thanksgiving, and of course we'll see him again in a couple weeks after finals over the Christmas holiday. So I don't know if we'll get back other than February, but I'm coming back for the Miami game, and if I can swing it, I may come back a little earlier and try to catch the Duke game as well.
All right. Well, hope to see you when you come to town.
Yeah, love getting back.
Here's a thought from Habbo. What would you think, and of course matchups are a key, but of a four-guard lineup to get a little offense in the system here?
Well, of course, we saw that against Ohio State, and I think it makes sense just to spread the court, and without a post-up threat, and when you have the four guys out there, you can spread it out and hopefully get some of those driving lanes we talked about. Our defensive rebounding has been down a gear what I've seen so far this year. So whatever big you have in there really has to have some ability to go find the ball and keep their big guys off the board. And then we've got to pack in and get the defensive board before we can run out, even with the smaller lineup. But again, when we're having trouble scoring and given how good our wings are and the freshmen, I suspect we'll see that some.
You know, the Frank and I were talking before we went on air, the thing you got to remember about Brogdon being gone, not only do we miss the guy at the end of the games who's going to make the free throws, we miss the guy who's going to make the big basket when you need it on the offensive end, but people need to remember he was our best defensive player too, so we really miss him on the defensive end as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, first-team All-American player, and of course, for the previous 2 years, we had guys that are currently playing and playing well in the NBA alongside of him, too. So, you know, Tony's done such a great job, and he's more in reload mode this year than anything else. We're going to be really good, but you can't not have a drop-off when you lose a guy like that.
What about the state of basketball? You know, I know you still follow the NBA. I mean, do you like this one-and-done thing, or what's your feeling about that?
No, I don't like it for anybody. I don't like it for the kid. I don't like it for the school. I don't like it for the NBA. Baseball has the right system, and it's never been clear to me why basketball can't adopt it, but, you know, I always hear about lawyers somehow involved, and that's the reason why. But if a kid in baseball can come out after he graduates from high school, you know, obviously they're going to the minor leagues instead of the big leagues for the most part, if not always. There are always a few guys, or have been, that are ready for the NBA out of high school. So let them come out after high school. But if you commit to college, you have to stay for 3 years. That's the way baseball does it. And I think that works great for everybody.
Then I think the other thing that doesn't get a lot of conversation is the academic abuse, because a lot of these guys that know they're going to leave after 1 year, you know, they may go to class in the fall, but in the spring semester, my guess is their class attendance drops off pretty
precipitously. So one semester may be and done. And, again, that's not good for them or the school. So, like I said, I think there's a solution out there that works, and why we can't get there is still a mystery to me.
Plus, if the kid has a catastrophic injury of some sort, then he's lost twice.
Absolutely.
He's lost the basketball career that he was counting on, and academically he's in deep trouble and could be end up in some junior college, praying to get into a JC. So I just, to me, it's never made sense, and I agree with you about the baseball program and the way that's set up for the kids. Well, I was curious if you had any thoughts at all about this whole thing with North Carolina and this long delayed, postponed, stalled academic scandal. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know, you know, anything about the timing. I'm somewhat familiar with what's going on, and of course I have a lot of friends and professional teammates that played there. There's absolutely no excuse for, you know, what I read, what transpired. I mean, you talk about terrible for the kids. The fact that they were able to, you know, retain their eligibility and not really get an education, and that's not what, you know, the system's about, and that's not what that school's about. So, you know, I don't get it. I don't get why there's any pushback on what needs to happen to remedy that.
I mean, if North Carolina would just self-impose, I think everybody would have been happy. But the fact that they've been fighting it tooth and nail, there are articles that are now resurfacing now, and writers are now taking a stand, like Paul Woody here in Richmond wrote a pretty strong article, just recently. Let me ask you this, Wally. When you watch Virginia play defense these days, and I'm talking about the entire Bennett tenure so far, do you think that he's having a hard time demonstrating or showing or convincing the kids to play better on-ball defense? Because there seems to be a disconnect at times during these games, in the last two games particularly.
Well, you know he's going to demand it, and you know they're going to get there. But the difference between particularly younger players, you know, playing against their teammates in practice and going on against a quick, you know, 22-year-old is obviously takes an adjustment. And we've seen it even with our great players that are now defending at the NBA level. You know, they struggle at times early in their career to technique and just against the competition. But because Tony demanded it, because we're athletic enough, they'll get there. Yeah, there have been some breakdowns. But remember last year, you guys probably remember, I know I do, that GW game, and we're sitting there watching it and saying, what's happened? What's gone wrong with our defense? They're just going to the basket and laying it in. Well, some of it was the rules change. Some of it was our technique and just the competition. But guess what? We kept getting better as the season progressed, and there weren't many more of those when you got into, you know, February and March.
Well, the amazing thing, and I'm sure you appreciate this as well as a member of the Virginia basketball family, is what Tony has done for the program. You know, we lose a game on Saturday, it seems like the end of the world. It's so rare that we lose a game, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, you know, it's early in the season, we got a lot of new kids, they're going to make adjustments, and just speak a little bit about what a job Tony has done in Charlottesville.
Well, he just done a spectacular job, and he's as good a coach as there is in the country, and I said this when I was back there in September. We're lucky to have him, and I hope we have him for many decades to come, because he's perfect in every respect for our school. So, and now I've said that, I've stated the obvious. The fact that he makes the demands that he does and gets the kids to buy in is so much the battle, and the results speak for themselves. It's so hard, one, to communicate that and get kids to accept it. But now, because of the success of the program and the kind of kids he's recruited, which are attracted to who he is and what he's done, he's been able to perpetuate it. And that's, you get that flywheel effect. That's perfect for a program.
Well, given the way you and I play defense, we might not have never gotten on the floor under the bed.
Oh, I know. I kind of think about that. Now, having said that, Haba, I saw you and you saw me early. Terry Holland basically did the same thing to me that Tony has done. He said, well, you're going to do this. So it took me till my last year till I got there. But maybe I did.
Well, it's just as you said, he's the perfect fit for the University of Virginia. Just a class guy. It really makes all of us proud to be part of the Virginia basketball family. So, Wally, we appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. Maybe as the season develops, we'll plug you back in and get some updated thoughts from you later on. But thanks much. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Same to you, Haba and Frank. Always good chatting with you guys.
Thank you, Wally.
Former Wahoo great Wally Walker.
All right. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that, because I doubt if there's too many ball players that have ever worn the orange and blue that have more knowledge or a deeper sense of what Cavalier sports is all about.
He actually qualified to get in school. He would have gotten in if he didn't have a jump shot.
They didn't have to fudge the transcripts like they did for you.
Well, we just a couple of numbers here transposed.
Yeah, what's a 3 and a 2? That's no big deal. Well, all kidding aside, hey, we've got to give Haba the Purple Heart Award tonight, because he's back in studio after a tough week and a half or so after hip surgery, and we don't call Dr. Dalton Dr. Mengele for nothing. So
no, Vince is terrific, and the floor University Hall was hard back in the days. That hardwood, and people, I've said many times, Coach Holland came in and poured a portable floor on top of the original floor, but in my day, and I had less gravity to deal with in those days. Yes, I could actually jump back in the day. So there was some impact when you came down on that floor. But at any rate, as I said earlier, Vince Dalton, a terrific doctor. If there's anybody out there, and that's not, all of our Jody Smith, Glenn Kerr, Boyd, and Gordy Rawls, who we'll have on here shortly, our ortho supporters are terrific.
Don't forget Andrew Bogle.
Andrew Bogle. They're all great guys. So I would tell you, if you're out there and you got some pain in the hip, I know it's
or
hard.
Or the knee,
to,
or the shoulder, or the elbow, or the wrist.
Right.
Just a few of the things that I've had to suffer through.
Pain is overrated. Go ahead and get it taken care of.
Get it done.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to be able to walk without pain, which, as far as the joint is concerned, it's already it's better. It's just now dealing with some muscle pain.
All right, we got to do the LeClaire Ryan play or player or players of the game. And yours truly here, after watching the last two games, the Ohio State thriller, which kept me up to like 1:15 the other night, and then the West Virginia Mountaineers and their full court press, which, I thought it was illegal to chase people off the court surface into the portal, but West Virginia was guarding them everywhere. anyway, we're gonna go with Mariel Shayok, mostly because, thankfully, though, he missed those free throws at the end against Ohio State. He did have the good sense to get out there on that three-point shooter and contest that shot. And I'm convinced if he hadn't have gotten out there in that guy's face, he probably would have made it. Because
he might have hit the front of the rim. It wasn't like it was off much.
He didn't brick that shot. And
that would have been a devastating
That would have hurt. So at least Virginia split these two games against two tough competitors.
Yeah, I think, as we said earlier, I think West Virginia's a good basketball team. I think they're Sweet 16 type team. Losing to them is not an embarrassment, even though I think if we play better, we win the game.
Interestingly, in the post-game presser with Coach Huggins, who was very careful with his language, he didn't speak very long and he didn't provide much insight. But he did make a comment twice. He kept saying, well, you know, Virginia's the best in the country at what they do. Now, he didn't really specify as to what they do, but
well, they control tempo and play defense.
Right. And, you know, Virginia, as you know, protects the lane and forces teams to take tough shots.
But here's the key moment. You know, I mean, London made the three to put us up 54-53, under 3 minutes to go.
Yep.
We get a stop on the next possession. We go in the offensive end. Ty Jerome gets an open look at a three and just happened to miss it. But I think if he makes that shot and we go up four, we probably end up winning the game. He misses it. West Virginia goes back, beats us off the dribble, kick to the corner. Their player makes the three,
yep.
And all of a sudden they were on a run.
By the way, the player that made the key shots for West Virginia was a redshirt freshman named Lamont West, I believe.
Yeah, he made two out of you know, West Virginia only made 4 3-pointers the whole game. But that was certainly a big one that he made at that moment from the deep right corner.
I might have his name wrong. I'm looking for
it. No, it is Lamont West. I got the box score right here.
Okay, I did get it right. All right. Anyway, he made 3 of 4, and 3 of them were from downtown. When Huggins was asked about that, he said, desperate times call for desperate measures. He said, because nobody else was hitting. And that's a famous line that Tony Bennett used down in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. Based on my question about changing his starting lineup for the second half against Coastal Carolina. All right, we're waiting for Dr. Gordy Rawls, who apparently has gotten tied up into wrist or hand surgery. So we're going to go to break now. We come back on this other side. We'll do the Ortho Virginia Injury Report, and we'll cover Olympic sports with Daron. Stay with us.